I would warn people against just starting with the AI itself. Just going, you know, opening up ChatGPT, plugging in your product or service and asking, okay, who would be a good customer for this? So what I found is really helpful for counteracting that is to start with the humans instead of the AI tools.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method, like email or SEO or Facebook ads, and pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, a new one released every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. At the moment, though, we're doing something completely different. We are spending 5 episodes exploring a brand new topic for the show, which is all about AI that actually delivers results in e-commerce. So far, we have done chatbots and negotiation. We've done product descriptions and conversion rate optimization, and we've done team productivity. In this episode, we're getting nitty gritty with one specific use case, which is creating your customer avatars. Got a brilliant guest who's got a digital marketing and travel industry background who wanted to share this. She applied to be a guest on the show. She went to keepopt.com/guest and applied to be on the show and pitched me this brilliant idea of talking about how you can streamline and sort out your customer avatars and get that data together to help your team. And personally, I'll be honest, I find creating customer avatars to be a hugely rewarding task, but one that's just takes so much time, I never get around to doing it or refreshing it. So I will be following her advice to work out better avatars within our business too. So this is a really cool one. Make sure you listen right to the end of the episode, because at the end of the interview, my guests will be sharing some quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of your marketing. And I'll be sharing my take on it all, plus outlining some other ways we can help you bring AI into your business and make sure it's actually delivering results. So stay tuned to the end. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business. One that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo. That's Yotpo. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. In this episode, I'm chatting with marketing expert Sarah Bodner. Sarah's spent many years working at digital marketing agencies, and she's currently working in-house as the hospitality marketing manager at Eden Resort and Suites. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Very cool to have you here, and thank you for filling in the guest form to pitch us and pitching such a cool topic as well. So awesome to be sharing this with the audience. First off, though, how did you kind of get into marketing and playing around with AI in this arena?
Yeah, so I've been working in marketing for several years, and before this role, I've been working at marketing agencies. And I first started playing around with AI probably about 5 years ago. So the agency I'd worked for at the time was really interested in AI, and we were using what is now called Jasper. It was Jarvis.ai back then. And they kind of just set me loose with it. The COO had come across it and he said, this is super cool. I feel like there might be some fun, you know, content opportunities here. You try it. Tell us if you think it's worth continuing in or, you know, if it's just not working at all. No sense continuing it. And so that was pretty much the only background I had and jumped right into it. And it was really fun to play around with once you got over that initial learning curve. Because at first, if your prompts weren't perfect, it would give you the exact same three sentences over and over and over again. If you were very vague and not specific, you would get some pretty wild information. And then, of course, you had to fact check everything. So I even started a little Google Doc where every time it would have something absolutely outlandish that I thought should just be documented so me and my coworkers could have a little laugh, I would copy and paste it into that. And at that point, you know, I did realize that it was something that I wanted to continue working in and share with some of my coworkers and help teach others about, especially in creating long form content, everything from the brainstorming side to creating titles to making sure you had a good working outline and then being able to fill in that outline appropriately. And, you know, a little bit after playing around with that is when ChatGPT came out and became really popular as well. And so it was interesting to be able to see what information we could take from knowing how to use AI systems and apply it to that. And then, of course, Jasper also, I mean, they continued adding more templates and prompts, and the product has just gotten better and better in general. I feel like even though it's only been a few years, it's come so far from the first time that I played around with it.
That's fascinating, Sarah. So you were kind of like way ahead of the curve of the most of us. So you must be like PhD level prompter by now.
Oh, I wouldn't say quite that. I think I got a little bit of a head start.
Definitely. And it's, I think since I've been bothering to pay attention. I suppose that is true. Since I've been bothering to pay attention, everybody listening knows this because it's taken us until now to do episodes on AI. Since I've been bothering to pay attention, it is mad how much the improvement in what you can anticipate AI might give you that's good quality, I suppose, and also our ability to organize it is or to use it well has improved too. But rather than us talk about that, let's talk about what you wanted to come on the show and talk about, which is customer avatars using AI. I am super fascinated by this and I really want to ask you lots about it. But first off, let's just set the scene. What are we meaning? What are you meaning when you're talking about customer avatars? Because I feel like people use them in all kinds of weird and wonderful ways. So let's set a definition. What's your view of what a customer avatar is?
Yeah, so what I've used it for is essentially it's a document that outlines a really specific individual within your target demographic. So when you think about who your ideal buyer is, you know, you have this document and it gives all the details on them. And it's fictional, but I love assigning them even like a name, an age, and really breaking it down into, you know, why they might want your product or service. So you have their before state, their after state, some of the key emotions there. I like to come up with like really specific pain points that maybe they've run into if they use other products or services, so that you can really differentiate yourself and get into your customer's mind.
Cool. So it's both that kind of she's 25 and she does this, this, and this, but also that more experiential why and motivations side of things, bringing all of that together.
Yep.
And why, or how does AI help? Like, are you using the AI to do the research? Are you creating an avatar? How are you using AI to create that in a better way and to make it more useful?
Yeah, I think there's a few different ways to use AI in this instance. I think, first of all, it's kind of, we're so close to our products and services usually that it can almost be difficult for us to really have an amazing understanding of the person who might be using them. I think often we have a good understanding, but we almost need to be one step further removed. And I feel like AI helps us do that. It gives us, you know, that insight, even if it's automated, that we might not necessarily have ourselves. And it also just helps us systemize all this too, like creating the templates. And then once you have a really good customer avatar, if you're creating another one for a different product or service, you can, you know, have the AI reference what you already have to just make sure it's as well built out as possible and really consistent as well.
Got you. So we're using it for lots of different elements. So if we're, I guess, are there any kind of don'ts for the audience if they're thinking, okay, brilliant, my boss has been on at me to update the customer avatars or to come up with a customer avatar. This brilliant, I'll just go and ask ChatGPT. What are the kind of the don'ts that we need to be aware of, or the warnings, the health warnings before we start on this journey?
Yeah, the biggest warning, and maybe this is a bit of a funny one since we are here to discuss AI, but I would warn people against just starting with the AI itself. Like just going, you know, opening up ChatGPT, plugging in your product or service and asking, okay, who would be a good customer for this? So what I found is really helpful for counteracting that is to start with the humans instead of, you know, the AI tools. So when you're thinking about your product or service, like collecting background info, I think is the best step you can take. So like often I'll go to, if I'm doing it here, I'll speak with our sales team because each member, you know, has a different demographic that they work with. And they're able to share insights with me that I probably would have never been able to find out on my own. Like I can talk and say, okay, if someone is booking an event space, what things is this group prioritizing? And they'll be able to tell me things like I wouldn't have assumed that like free parking would be a big draw, but it is because many places around here don't have free parking for events. So things like that. And if it's a like e-commerce product, like speaking with customer support can be really helpful too, because they're oftentimes the closest to the customer and they can give you that background information. And when you're getting all that information, like I just dump it all on a notepad. I like the pen and paper of it all. And then even when I give it to AI, like sometimes it's just one really long run-on sentence or paragraph, and it's just all about trying to take that info out of your brain and put it into the system to actually give it a good starting point.
Got you. So whilst you're capturing it in pen and paper, you're then digitizing it with some editing, I suppose. So you've got it in a format that you can feed in to the AI tool. So 101, do the heavy lifting research.
You got to do the legwork yourself. You cannot expect AI to do all of that. And for you to get something that's actually going to resonate with your target audience.
Got you. And is that... because you're doing it on paper and then you're summarizing it before you're giving it to the AI. Is this a more is better or less is greater? How much research? Is there like a minimum and a maximum amount of research we want to be feeding into the tool? Or is it gather what you can and run with that?
In my experience, the more you have is usually better. Just because, again, there's so many details that are going to help both you and the AI system create a better full picture. You know, so many different pieces of the puzzle that you can sort of assemble. But even I found if you just have like a couple paragraphs as a starting point, that can be good enough.
Got you. Okay. So all your reviews from your review system is perfectly reasonable to throw in there. But if you can't get that, start with what you can get and then see what happens. Okay, so we've done that research piece. What's our next step on pulling this all together?
So after I do the research with usually like our sales team, and you mentioned reviews just now, because that's often where I go as the next step, because not only do you want to create a good customer avatar, but you also want to create it using the same language that your customers are using. And AI isn't necessarily going to know the exact, you know, terms that your customers are using. But one of my favorite things is to go into the reviews. And so I'll use, you know, reviews from the Google Business Profile a lot and just copy down some of them and look for the commonalities. Like what language or pain point does it seem like a lot of people are using? Because we understand things so much better when it's spoken to us in the same way that we would use to discuss something. And so just So I might not like copy like all the reviews, but usually you can find some common threads in those and really start to pull on those and incorporate them as well.
Got you. So we've got the team gathered opinions and research. We've turned that into text. And then we've got the customer's voice in some format or another, and we've turned that into text too. Where do we go next? Is that research stage over, or have we got more to do?
At that point, it's pretty much over for me. There might be like sometimes one thing will lead to another, like someone from your sales team might reference like a specific community that a lot of your customers are in. So like at that point, like I might go poke around in there, see if there's any articles or anything of interest. But normally at that point, I feel like I have enough background interest, and then I start building a prompt for the AI tool.
Got you. So before we get into the prompt, which AI tool are you using for this? Is it another AI, Gen AI piece, or is there a specific one you like to use? What do we log into?
So my favorite tool for all of this is Claude. I've just found that I like it more, and I feel like it is better at one, kind of sounding more human, as silly as that sounds, and it just tends to take feedback and direction better. So like if it spits something out and I'm not super happy with it, I can, you know, give it a couple sentences to adjust. And it just seems to be better at adjusting like tone and style than other systems.
Got you. So Claude rather than ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But this framework should work with pretty much any tool. Like that's getting really into the nitty gritty of it all.
Cool. But there's not like a customer avatar tool we need to buy. We can literally go to the lowest level AI tool. Not that it's, you know, the top of the family tree of AI tools. Lowest is the wrong word to use there, isn't it? So the top of the family tree of AI tools, go to Claude, you would recommend, ChatGPT, if not, and start there. So then, I was going to say, once we've done that, we are on prompt writing, which is the essential part. So how do we write a great prompt?
Yeah, this is really into the meat and potatoes of it. And writing a great prompt is at the beginning about as being as specific as possible. But then as you get different versions of it, being able to make and suggest changes in a way that the tool is really going to pick up on. So for starting the prompt, normally I will like give it a little background info like, hey, I'm working on a customer avatar. Here's what I expect out of it. So I'll say usually like, give them a name, you know, age, gender, other demographic info. And then I'll follow it up by like feeding it some of that information. So then at this point, normally it just starts to give you some background info and it'll give you all of that. I find it easier to kind of work in chunks. So if there's anything that's like really off in that first section, I can have it adjust before moving on.
Okay. So you ask it the first question. It comes back with...
Yeah, like demographic info of a fictional character that we're creating.
And then if there's one bit of that, so you said about the demographic info, if the age is clearly off, you'd go back and get it to finish the age bit, drill down into that, and then carry on to the next step. So you're not at the beginning putting in a prompt going, here's some reviews for customer tone of voice. Here's some of my team's opinions about, do not write this as a prompt, everybody. I'm wording this very badly. But here are my team's opinions about our customers. Create me an avatar. It's start with one part of it and then layer on the other bit. So kind of make it bite-sized for the tool bit by bit is where we're going with this.
Yeah. And you could try and just put it all out at the beginning and maybe you would get 60% of the way there, but we're not here to get 60% of the way there.
Got you. So start with one bit. In this case, you're saying probably the demographics. Get that so you're happy with what it's telling you and then build on another one in the same chat flow.
Yep. So the next thing I would normally go to is... I would describe like the product or service a little bit more just so the tool has some background information on it. And then I would reference that avatar that we're starting to create, this fictional individual. And then I would write prompts along the lines of like, I would want to know their sort of before mental and emotional state before they use this product or service. And then I would want to know the after state after they use it. And then I would also discuss like, okay, some pain points that the person is having that the product or service might be able to resolve. And then another section or part of that would be, okay, like what similar products or services maybe they tried already. And maybe I'm able to give some specific examples because sometimes in reviews, people will mention like, hey, I used this one and it didn't go really well, which is why I'm here and had a different experience. And then have it give me all that information because that helps us like really flesh out the customer avatar. But then again, as it's writing that and it gives those like specific pain points and before and after, those are so helpful for creating product descriptions or if you want to send out email marketing or even social media posts. So it can really be beneficial if you really put in that work up front.
Got you. So as you're working your way through the conversation and getting those answers, have you kind of like got a final doc in mind with headings and you're just trying to fill in those headings? Is that how you kind of like you've gone, right, we need this and this information. Let's have the conversation until I've ticked all those boxes. Is that how it works for you?
Yeah. So normally like I'll kind of reformat it at the end or I'll ask the system to format it. But normally like what I expect to get out of it is like the first section is like demographic info. Normally I'll have it sort of write almost like a bit of a story, like a couple paragraphs about this person and, you know, their life, what it's like using the product and kind of the after state. And that all just gives you some nice written text. Then normally I also have it just give me like a chart that's kind of like before, after, lists some emotions. And then the final paragraph that I'll have it do is what I expect to, like best case scenario, what happens when this person uses the product or service. And normally that's something like, okay, they'll purchase the product because of this reason. Then not only will they be happy with the product, but like they're also going to become an avid fan of the product. So they're going to leave really good reviews and they're going to recommend it word of mouth to other people, maybe share about it in other communities. And then, yeah, that's ultimately kind of just this. I like to have it maybe 2 pages because anything more than that, it gets a little bit hard to reference. But yeah, then you just have this really nice document. Ideally, it's pretty scannable. So if you need to just jump in and pick out a few key phrases, you can.
Got you. Love that. Okay. So we've on anything else we need to know about the conversation with the AI tool?
I think that's pretty much it. I think the advice I would end with is just to be as specific as possible. Because again, the more vague you are, the more the system, it's trying to do its best, but it can read into things that you might not necessarily expect or want out of it. And I would also, kind of the purpose of doing it in breaking it into different chunks is so that you can give it recommendations as you go along. Because otherwise, at the very end, you could be like, this isn't it at all. But if you'd given a couple sentences of adjustment in the very first section, that would totally change the outcome of the work that you got.
Got you. And once you've got it all, how do you make it usable for the team? Because, you know, it's lovely to go, right, I've done the customer avatar, tick, we can ignore that till next year or, you know, however frequently you update them. How do you then put that in a way that enables the team to make the best use possible of it? So as it actually impacts the marketing and the decision-making within the business?
Yeah, I think one of the things, and again, maybe it's a little bit more work, but it really depends on who on the team wants this. Because if it's someone on the marketing team, they're probably going to want the whole doc. So you're going to want to, you know, break it down into those sections so they know exactly what they can find when they're looking for it. But someone on your sales team, they might not necessarily want the whole thing. So even picking out the pieces that are going to be most important to them, like probably, you know, the before and after state. And we've even done it a few times where we've just made one document and we've even like gotten a stock image of the person that this could be and made it look as realistic as possible. And it just kind of condensed their story into like one paragraph with a few bullet points. And that can be really helpful for anyone who just needs a really quick overview so they can better imagine the people that they're serving.
Nice. And okay, the killer question, I suppose, is there'll be some people listening to this going, well, I could just do all that myself. Why do I need the AI bot? It's not like I just ask it one question and it gives me, I've got to put some work in here. How much do you think, or what do you think are the key benefits of using Claude to do this rather than working through it yourself? Is it time? Is it accurate insights? Is it alternative viewpoints? What's the bit that really makes this something you would never do again without the help of AI?
Yeah, I think the two main things are, one, it's just going to save a lot of time because people can absolutely do this without the help of AI if they want, but it's going to take hours and hours of effort and combing through different things. And you're also going to be trying to ask other people, because the other point that I think is really one of the reasons to use AI for this is it just gives you insight that you might not have yourself because you're so close to the product or service. And so it's able to, you know, given all the research that you put into it, understand or, you know, automate things in a way that you might not be able to.
Got it. Nice. Thank you so much for taking us through all that, Sarah. Is there anything else people need to know about this before we go into the insider tips round?
I think the last thing to know about it is the first customer avatar you build, you want to really put as much effort as possible into, because one of the helpful things about AI is after you've built the first one, that can be a really good framework to have it reference. So sometimes it can get so much easier. Like you might have info you've collected from the human members of your team, and then you might put that in and then say, I'm looking for, you know, another customer avatar, please reference this one and create it in the same style. And that just helps save you so much time.
Oh, nice. That's top tip. Thank you. Okay, Sarah, it's been great picking your brains about customer avatars and how AI can make them a lot easier to create. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Sarah's insider tips on AI use cases that work and wider, and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses. Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business, one that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo, that's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. Okay, Sarah, so far we've gone deep into customer avatars. Now you get to oust your insider knowledge about the whole world of marketing. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with marketing, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Sarah, are you ready for these?
Yes, I am.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
The first step is definitely to give yourself a sandbox. I think so much of the time, if we work at digital marketing agencies or even if we're in-house, the stakes seem so high that we're scared to try new things sometimes and mess them up. So one of the best things is to just get yourself your own domain and build your own website, because you can screw it up as much as you want. You know, no one is paying you to do the effort there. And even if you are using some AI tools, like you can test things out if you want to create content for your own website, and just give yourself some time and space to play around with things a little bit, because it's really hard to learn new things when you feel like you can't take risks because it's client work.
Nice. I love that one. Okay. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
My favorite way is just, and I think this encompasses so many different things, but trying to stay on top of trends. So finding either people to follow or communities you can join like this in different like Slack communities, or going to marketing conferences is really helpful. Anything where you're able to sort of be able to absorb knowledge from other people. But you can't stop there either, because just writing some cool tips down in a notebook, that's not enough. And I think that's another reason why it's fun to have your own website or space to play around, because you can hear about a super cool trend that maybe you can't quite sell to leadership of the organization where you work for, but you can do it for yourself and actually put it into action so you understand how it works.
Oh, nice. That's clever. Love that. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there one cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I think one of the resources that was really helpful to me when I first started playing around with just AI and customer avatars more in particular was the group Digital Marketer has a worksheet that you can get. They have some gated resources as well, but I believe if you just search Digital Marketer customer avatar worksheet, like you should get this document. And I would tell people, print the document out, like on your printer, get a pen, kind of step away from your computer for a little bit, sit in a different corner or something, and just go through it with pen and paper for the first time. Because if you can't at least feel like you can somewhat accurately understand what all goes into a customer avatar, it's going to be really hard for you to use AI accurately in a way that's going to actually connect with your customers.
Brilliant tip there. And I think you and me are at one with the get away from the computer and use a physical pen.
Any excuse to step away from my screen for a little bit.
Okay, finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yeah, so when it comes to AI in particular, I think when it very first came out, people were so excited about it and everyone started using it. But now people are starting to get really skeptical. It seems like whenever I'm on LinkedIn, like people are saying, if you see text that has the rocket emoji in it, that means it's AI. Or if people use too many M dashes, like it must be AI writing it. So I think people are really going to start to kind of, whether they realize it or not, be going through any copy or long form content almost with a fine tooth comb. I think people are more programmed now to assume that everything is AI and it must be pretty bad if that's the case. And so because of that, like, you know, you used to be able to get away with good writing, but now AI can sometimes, with the right training and usage, get you good writing. And so good writing almost isn't enough now. It has to be great writing. It has to be something so unique that only, you know, someone who has a really human understanding could create something like that. So I think really over the next few months, like, we're going to be faced with a lot of skepticism and really going to have to step things up and be trying to create new ideas. And again, really be informed by the people closest to the product or service that people are using.
Oh, completely agree with you. Love your take on that. Sarah, we're very nearly at the end of the show though. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
Yeah, you can find me on LinkedIn at Sarah Bodner, or you can find my website at sarahbodner.com. And then if you're ever in beautiful Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm marketing manager at the Eden Resort and Suites, which is a hotel resort.
Very cool. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on and talking about all of this. You've got us all thinking, so we really appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Okay, so some great tips about prompting and building those conversations with AI there, and a way in which, one, you can finally get that create customer avatar task off your desk, put in the legwork, go around the team, gather the review data, and then have that intelligent conversation with the AI tool to get it to fast track the creation of the information you need to be putting into the doc you share with the team. Some other really cool tips in there from Sarah around making that more usable. So I think that the digital marketer checklist for avatars, we'll make sure we put a link to that in the show notes for you. And that's definitely a good one to get your head in the game. And then the points around creating different versions of the avatar depending on what your team need it for. Loads of good tips and advice in there. We'd love to know how you get on with doing that yourselves. You can get links to all the things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct episode short link. Just put keepopt.com/ the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the right page on the site. When you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then do check out our last few episodes on AI, because I think they'll really help you continue your learning about how it can really help in an e-commerce business. You can find those either by scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/AI to go straight to the page on the website where we've put all our AI episodes, both from this series and from in the past. Please also tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week, and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Are you using Yotpo for your email and SMS campaigns? Then you will already know that they're sunsetting their email and SMS service at the end of this year. I know, not the news you wanted this close to peak, is it? So over on the e-commerce tech website, we're putting together a couple of blogs to help you to navigate it all and turn this surprise into a brilliant move for your business. One that maybe even can increase your peak performance. To get the blogs, just go to keepopt.com/yotpo. That's Y-O-T-P-O. There you can read my 4-step plan to make the most of the situation and get a roundup of advice from email marketing experts about what you should do. That's keepopt.com/yotpo. Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.